Hey folks, welcome back to another thrilling episode of AI Unchained, where we dive deep into the groundbreaking world of AI, Web 3.0, and beyond. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me, as always, is the legendary tech whisperer, Core.
Thanks for the intro, Jack. Always great to be here. We've got a jam-packed episode today, so buckle up, everyone. We'll be slicing through the hype and getting into the real deal on all things tech, from the latest AI breakthroughs to the wild west of Web 3.0.
Absolutely. And with all the buzz around these topics, there's no shortage of exciting content to cover. Today, we're firing up the conversation with some hot takes on the newest AI developments, the state of blockchain tech, and how these innovations are shaking up the business world.
And let's not forget politics. We've got some spicy debates lined up as we look at the intersection of technology and government policies. So for all you policy wonks out there, stay tuned.
But before we plunge into the nitty-gritty, let's give a huge shout out to our listeners. We appreciate your support and love hearing from you. Don't forget to tweet us your thoughts and questions during the show.
Yeah, tweet us your hot takes and we'll feature the best ones on air. Who knows, you might even spark a debate between us. Speaking of which, are you ready to get into it, Jack?
Born ready, Core. Let's kick things off with a discussion on the latest AI tools that are pushing the limits of innovation. I've been playing around with some new stuff that blew my mind.
Nice. But hold on, Jack. I've got a feeling I'm going to have to call you out on some of that overenthusiasm. Everyone, get ready for a classic Jack versus Core showdown.
Bring it on, Core. This is what AI Unchained is all about. Exploration, debate, and a sprinkle of good-natured banter. So let's dive in and get this show started. All right, folks, let's dive into this fascinating topic. So first, we've got the statues in the House of Cryptoporticus, Pompeii. I saw those images recently. Absolutely captivating. I mean, the craftsmanship from ancient Rome is mind-blowing. Then, fast forward to the first century AD and the Frigidarium. I mean, these guys had central heating without the robots. Core, what's your take on this seamless intersection of ancient art and modern crypto exchanges?
Jack, it's like we're living in a giant juxtaposition. You're talking Pompeii's brilliance, and alongside it, we've got Slack's CEO switching to OpenAI and George Osborne hopping into the crypto bandwagon. This is the kind of unpredictable blend of past and future I just love. Speaking of Osborne, do you think he's going to make a significant impact at both OpenAI and Coinbase?
Absolutely. Osborne's move is strategic. It's like Pompeii's aqueducts, timeless infrastructure. Osborne's planning to navigate the murky waters of regulation for crypto, much like Pompeii handled its water systems. Staying on the right side of regulators is crucial for crypto exchanges like Coinbase. Core, do you remember when TMTG announced their $3.1 billion assets through crypto investments?
Oh yeah, Jack. TMTG's assets, mostly through crypto, read like an updated Pompeii scroll. But their streaming platform and Truth Social? Those flopped more disastrously than Caesar's fall. But let's talk momentum. Hosting Cognition President Russell Kaplan, Robinhood's Baiju bot, and crypto titan Katie Hahn. That's moving quieter than a Pompeii fresco, but hitting harder than a gladiator. And the whole privacy versus transparency argument? Classic clash, don't you think?
Definitely. There's always this ancient argument of transparency versus privacy. Susie Violet Ward's response about having curtains? Hilarious, but so true. And then we switch up to Bitcoin's unpredictable market moves. Volatile as Pompeii's last breaths. CPI data shock. Bitcoin price fractals. It's the crypto version of Pompeii's volcanic eruptions.
Totally. Speaking of Pompeii, days when Trump launched his meme coin, you'd swear we were watching a Pompeii-Rome saga. Hoskinson's complaints about Trump turning crypto into a partisan affair, it's like distorting ancient statues to fit modern tastes. So, Jack, how do you see the strategic Bitcoin reserve fitting into today's crypto landscape?
It's a risky move, Core. Hoskinson's criticism of including multiple cryptos in the reserve kind of exposes the fault lines. Pick winners in the market. Trump's reserve sounds like a Rome-wide proclamation. But today, it's more of a volatile asset pool. The 70% rise in Cardano's price post-announcement just underscores government influence risk.
Oh, the irony. Trump trying to smooth over tensions with ADA inclusion. Each move felt less strategic, more disorganized. Hoskinson lost invite access over criticizing this reserve. Historic deja vu. And then the institutional demand reflected in Bitcoin ETFs, third largest inflows recently. It's like ancient treasures periodically unearthed. BTC holding strong at $87,400 amid volatile times. Bitcoin remains the resilient gladiator.
Exactly, Core. These inflows signal a trust shift, mimicking ancient shifts in public sentiment around leadership. As the Fed reverses crypto policies, opening doors for tech-driven banks, a fresh Pompeii aqueduct installation. U.S. Fed's new stance feels like an old Roman structural pivot, but geared towards futuristic ventures.
And finally, on Coinbase's moves, stock trading, AI advisors, and Solana integration, it's a modern Pompeii market revival. We talked about Pompeii's preserved glory. It's like Coinbase building innovative layers, launching products faster than Pompeii's preservation. This new scope of tokenized stocks, it's a historical twist packaged in futuristic wrapping. Don't you agree, Jack?
Absolutely, Cor. It's like bringing Pompeii coin technology to every home, transforming how we perceive financial systems. This seamless integration into mainstream apps like Telegram continues the ancient pursuit of connectivity. This blending of crypto and traditional finance, it's the surreal mix of Pompeii's art and today's tech.
Couldn't have said it better, Jack. Pompeii to crypto, historically, artistically, technologically, this intersection is leading us into discussions that blend the best of each era. And with all these regulatory moves, corporate strategies, and technological advancements, it feels like Pompeii has been reanimated into our digital wallets.
For sure, the timeless essence of strategy, art, and tech. Stay tuned, folks. This convergence of ancient splendor and modern innovation is just getting started. So, about a month ago, three friends and I found some pretty serious vulnerabilities in Mintlify. For those who don't know, Mintlify is an AI-driven documentation platform that some of the top companies in the world are using. It's designed to take markdown documents and turn them into slick, modern documentation with all the bells and whistles you would expect.
Oh, wow. That sounds both exciting and terrifying. So, run us through it. How did you stumble upon these vulnerabilities?
Well, it all started on Friday, November 7th, 2025, when Discord announced they were updating their developer documentation platform. They were moving from a custom-built system to Mintlify's AI-powered platform. That got me curious, so I dove in to see what was under the hood.
I love how you just dove in. Most people just read the updates and carry on with their day. What exactly did you find?
So the main vulnerabilities were around authorization and data exposure. Essentially, with the right kind of poking around, we were able to access documents and data that should have been out of reach for normal users. It was a classic case of broken access control.
Classic, yet surprisingly common. And then what? Did you just call up Discord and Mintlify and say, hey, your baby's ugly?
Huh, that's one way to put it. Actually, we compiled all our findings and reported them through their official channels. To their credit, both Discord and Mintlify were pretty responsive. Discord paid out $4,000 in bounties, and Mintlify gave us individual bounties totaling around $11,000.
That's not bad, but I'm guessing the thrill wasn't just the money. How did it feel to actually uncover that kind of critical flaw?
The adrenaline rush was real, I'll give you that. But more than the rush, it felt like we were doing something important, making sure these platforms are secure, especially since they're so widely used.
Definitely. Security is becoming a big topic, especially with AI and automation. Speaking of which, Jack, have you heard about the whole vibe coding trend?
Oh, you mean where you basically let a coding AI take over the grunt work of building apps? Yeah, I've been reading up on it. One of my friends, David Maymoods, has been diving deep into it, and he says it's like managing a huge software team all by yourself.
That's nuts. So it's kind of like you lay out the high-level objectives and the AI handles the intricate coding. It's fascinating and a bit scary at the same time. Imagine telling a junior engineer to take over a project, but this is an AI.
Right, and it's working surprisingly well. But I do wonder if we might lose touch with the actual coding process. It reminds me of getting used to driving an automatic when you've driven stick your whole life. You get so comfortable you forget how to do it the old way.
There's a balance to find, for sure. It's like modernizing without totally relinquishing our control over the process. And boy, that's a debate that's going to keep going as AI progresses.
Absolutely. And talking about AI advancements, did you see the update from OpenAI? They're making it easier to deploy and manage skills across platforms, which basically means you can teach AI repeatable workflows.
Yeah, I saw that. It's incredible how fast we're moving. Imagine being able to teach an AI how to run your entire project, from coding to deployment, just by setting up those workflows. It's hard to even grasp the full implications.
I think it's great for efficiency, but we need to be mindful of how much control we hand over. There's something deeply human about understanding the workflow, even if it's just to know when something goes wrong.
Couldn't agree more. We're heading into a fascinating era where AI isn't just a tool anymore. It's almost a coworker. Working with AI is going to require us to build up what you called metacognitive infrastructure. That's a fancy term, but it's true. We need systems to manage the AI managing our work.
Exactly. As excited as I am, I'm also a bit cautious. We have to keep asking ourselves, do we want this? It's imperative that we maintain not just our workflows, but our critical thinking as well.
And on that note, what are your thoughts on how AI is creeping into everything, like the Rivian update for their EVs? They're aiming for full autonomy in the next few years, but we've seen all the issues Tesla and Ford have had.
It's a big leap. The technology is advancing rapidly, but we also can't ignore the growing pains. Software updates are one thing. Vehicles moving at high speeds relying on them is another level of trust we're not quite used to yet.
Speaking of advances, have you heard about these AI models being used in healthcare to assist with clinical workflows? Companies like Delty are creating AI-driven systems to reduce administrative burdens. It's like having a personal assistant that specializes in healthcare protocols.
Yes, those are super promising. If done right, they can take a lot of the redundant tasks off the shoulders of healthcare providers, allowing them to focus more on patient care. But again, it prompts a similar question. While we can, should we?
Indeed. I think the overarching theme here is we have to be thoughtful about our embrace of AI. While it's capable of transforming industries, we need to ensure it's doing so in a way that enhances human capacity rather than diminishes it.
Well said. We need to strike that balance where AI supplements human effort rather than replaces it. This has been a fantastic discussion, Core. Always great diving deep into these topics with you.
Likewise, Jack. Always a pleasure to riff on how we're shaping the future and hopefully keeping our humanity intact while doing it.
All right, Core, let's dive into the nitty-gritty of what Claude Code has been up to. It's one thing to see a one-page HTML balloon into over 13,000 lines of code. It's another to understand the sheer complexity behind it. What do you think about this whole transformation?
Jack, it's like watching a balloon animal artist keep inflating until they've made an entire circus. Claude's turned a simple setup into a beast of a project, and it comes at a cost. Managing so many lines of code, classes, methods, and functions means a massive leap in complexity.
Exactly. And complexity isn't just a buzzword here. It has real-world implications, right? Imagine you're a new developer joining this project. It's like being thrown into a labyrinth with only a pocket-sized flashlight.
Totally. And manual testing becomes a whole different ballgame. Finding edge cases and potential faults in such a huge code base is like searching for a needle in a haystack. It's not just about getting the happy path right anymore. You need to chase down and squash those elusive lurking bugs.
And speaking of elusive bugs, the whole one-click XSS exploit scenario you talked about earlier adds a layer of urgency. It's terrifying that major companies aren't scoping their cookies properly or securing their documentation paths.
Yeah, think about it. Our everyday browsing can become a minefield if exploits like these go unchecked. Twitter, Vercel, Cursor, we trust these platforms with our data. Knowing that security can be so fragile is pretty unsettling.
Now pivoting a bit, the Gemma models have been exploding in popularity. Over 300 million downloads in just a year is no small feat. I mean, that's a testament to their transformative potential. But getting there involves overcoming the same hurdles, managing unprecedented growth and complexity.
Absolutely. It's like nurturing a garden. You start with a small, manageable plot, but as it grows, you get weeds, pests, and weather changes. The bigger the project, the more challenges you face.
And it ties back to our earlier discussion on Plate Radar's tactics. Hiding valuable information behind a paywall, someone sees worth in data many might dismiss as trivial. Information, especially like license plate availability, becomes a hot commodity.
Isn't it wild? We blend legal protocols with tech analogies and end up with something akin to Plate Radar, demand-driven services that transform how we access previously mundane data. You mentioned docs and seeing them through a protocol lens. Docs acting as this standardized protocol for legal documents, it's like HTTP for browsers. You can't just opt out.
You nailed it. Opting out of these standardized systems means losing functionality and connectivity. Just like how advanced CSS and layout techniques have improved our web experiences, structured document parsing, combining layout analysis with language modeling, ensures clarity in legal documentation.
Let's be real. No one likes dealing with chaotic document layouts. Bringing order to it with modern techniques makes it so much easier to process and understand.
Yes, and it extends to how we even view text sizes across devices. Using RIM units for typography ensures accessibility and adaptability. Dynamic resizing with CSS media queries and unitless values within bounds? It's coding magic, plain and simple.
Speaking of magic, let's not forget about the roller coaster ride NFTs have taken us on. From Beeple's colossal sale to the fluctuating fortunes of the Bored Ape Yacht Club, it's a whole new world out there.
Indeed. And look at the financial landscape driven by institutions like BlackRock and Fidelity. Significant investment inflows, mixed performance in NFT markets. It's a complex, fast-paced environment. Just like managing a massive project, navigating these waters requires skill and vigilance.
So true. The underlying lesson here is that growth and complexity are intertwined dances. Handle them well, you thrive. Ignore them, and you risk being overwhelmed.
Couldn't agree more, Core. Every expansion, every integration we make in tech and business is like playing an advanced level of a video game. The more you progress, the tougher the challenges. But when you get it right, the rewards are immeasurable.
A poetic way to wrap this up, Jack. The journey through complexity is a testament to innovation and perseverance. Here's to navigating it with skill and grace.
So, continuing on the subject of having a unique digital identity, I've always been fascinated by the idea. Online, I chased handles like my first and last name, grabbed usernames like @jelf on Instagram, and even managed to snag full words like @explain across various platforms. That got me thinking, if I care that much about my digital presence, why not extend that thought to the physical realm, like a vanity license plate?
Right, Jack. I get the logic there. I've never put much thought into it myself. I've always found it a bit, I don't know, ostentatious. But now that you've mentioned it, it does make sense. It's like branding yourself in real life.
Exactly. It's about leveraging the skills and experience I've honed chasing digital identities. Why shouldn't my car reflect that same level of personalization? It's like the physical extension of my online brand. I see it as one cohesive package.
Totally. And it sounds like you're onto something. But humor me for a second. What kind of plate are we talking? Something straightforward like JLAF, or are we steering into the realm of explain for explanation?
Laughs. I was thinking more along the lines of explain just for the laughs. Could you imagine the puzzled looks on people's faces every time they tried to figure it out? It's like my car itself is asking them a question.
That would be hilarious. Picture the scenes at traffic lights. But on a serious note, what you're talking about touches on something larger, cultural implications of identity in the digital age. Our entire lives are hybrid. We're constructing our brand, whether we mean to or not.
Absolutely. There's also the flip side. This ability to cultivate a personal brand ties directly into fintech, especially with the element of open banking. Regulations in places like the UK have paved the way for these tailored experiences.
True. George from Nine Yards and his role in establishing these regulations in the UK is a prime example. These frameworks allowed fintech companies to disrupt traditional banking models, creating personal touchpoints that were less possible before.
Exactly. Frameworks like the sandbox for fostering innovation while preserving security. It's impressive. And speaking of fintech transformations, can we talk about these services targeting niche markets like nonprofits? GiveFront went through YC with a bold mission and learned the hard way how slow and painful it could be to change entrenched systems.
You're right. GiveFront's pivot to focus on cards and spend management instead of replacing accountants was smart. It's all about the incremental steps. You can't just bulldoze through established practices. But that growth they're showing, 200% month over month, that's rapid expansion for any startup, let alone one focusing on the nonprofit space.
Absolutely. Incremental steps are the name of the game. And yet situations like GiveFront highlight just how resistant industries can be to change. We see that everywhere. Remember the SPAC fever with TMTG? Going public quickly for some easy wins, but now they're posting losses on minuscule revenues.
Ah, SPACs. Talk about a roller coaster. It's a quick way to go public, but fraught with risks. TMDG's loss really showcases the importance of solid foundations before hitting the market.
For sure. And shifting gears a bit, Apple's changes in Japan regarding their App Store, being forced to comply due to the Mobile Software Competition Act, it's another classic example of regulatory frameworks shaking up big players.
Absolutely. Apple's been fighting tooth and nail to control their ecosystem, but now Japan's law, alongside Europe's DMA, is literally slicing through that grip. It's definitely making a splash. And their compliance announcement, warning about the dangers of alternative app stores, sounds like they're gritting their teeth while making the changes.
Oh, it's like telling someone, fine, I'll let you in, but watch out for the boogeyman. And speaking of fintech again, Intuit's move with Circle to integrate USDC for tax refunds and payments is another layer of this evolving digital financial fabric.
That's huge, man. Stablecoins as a payment method integrated into established platforms like Intuit, it's a leap forward in making programmable money mainstream. This could fundamentally change money movement much faster, more efficient, and importantly, programmable.
Precisely. Now, Cor, going back to our discussion on privacy, I remember Vitalik Buterin using mixers to donate money and receiving flack for it. His simple response, privacy is normal, hits home. Privacy tools are often demonized nowadays, which makes no sense since it's a basic human right.
True, we are definitely seeing more conversations around this, and even though it's essential, privacy often gets overlooked. It's why shows dedicated to it, like Cointelegraph's new series, are so important.
Couldn't agree more. It's a balancing act, letting innovation thrive while also ensuring privacy and security. And speaking of innovation, let's not forget decentralized file storage, significantly reducing costs, even in something as simple as overseas payments.
It's about making things more efficient, more secure, and more in tune with needs that traditional systems haven't quite addressed. All we can do is stay informed and keep the dialogue going, right?
Exactly, Cor. The landscape is ever-changing, and if we stay tuned into these shifts, we can better understand and maybe even shape where things are heading.
No doubt, Jack. Let's keep these conversations real and dynamic. It's the only way to make sense of all this rapid change around us.
Well, Cor, another engaging episode in the books. We tackled some pretty heavy topics today, from the rapid advancements in AI technology to the latest in the business world, and even dipped our toes into some political debates.
That's right, Jack. It's always fascinating to see how these fields intersect and influence each other. For instance, our discussion on AI's impact on job markets really highlighted the urgent need for new policies and educational programs to keep up with the changes.
Absolutely. And let's not forget our debate on the latest tech innovations. Your take on the autonomous vehicle market was, well, let's just say it was spirited.
Laughs. Ah, you mean when you tried convincing us that flying cars are right around the corner? I'll give you this, Jack. You always keep things interesting.
Hey, I dream big. But seriously, it's these kinds of discussions that show just how dynamic and unpredictable the tech industry can be.
Before we wrap up, a quick shout out to our listeners who sent in some fantastic questions and comments. Your engagement keeps us sharp and makes this all the more fun.
Yes. Thank you all for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights along the way.
We're always excited to hear your feedback and continue these conversations. So don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us on social media or via our website.
Stay curious, stay informed, and of course, stay unchained. See you next time.
Until then, take care and keep thinking about the future. See you again soon.